As we approach the end of this liturgical year, our Gospel reading today comes from the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, a chapter sometimes known as the Little Apocalypse, for in it our Lord Jesus prepares his disciples for what would be coming. Some of it would be coming just 40 years later, when Jerusalem would be conquered and the temple destroyed by the Roman Empire. During that same time, while some of that generation was still living, some of what he foretold would come far beyond that in the future. Indeed, even in our future, for it has yet to come. For we still anticipate the tribulation of which he spoke, which the Catechism describes as the final trial, the persecution, the final unleashing of evil. But we know that this terrible time will be brought to an end when our Lord Jesus Christ triumphantly returns. Then, as St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we anticipate that our Lord, at his second coming, will bring about the resurrection from the dead of all those who have died, the last judgment in which all will at long last be set aright, the coming of the kingdom of God in its fullness, and the transformation of all creation into the new heavens and the new earth, in which he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order will have passed away. This is our hope. But the sweetest thing of all will be the truth that St. Paul states. Thus, we shall always be with the Lord. With our precious Lord, whom we have known and loved in this life, though in this life at a distance, not yet seeing his face with our own eyes, not yet hearing his voice with our ears. Then we shall see him face to face. Then we shall know fully as we are fully known. Then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As it says in the book of Revelation, behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as their God. And so it is our joy, our hope, our glorious expectation that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And we fervently respond, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. But even as we stand erect and raise our heads because our redemption is at hand, who else is watching with us? Does this eager expectation of our Lord's second coming pervade the lives of those around us? Or is it not the case that some do not believe in our Lord Jesus or in his second coming? Some are gripped by fear of the events of the tribulation that will precede his coming, while others are afraid of his judgment and of the consequences that will follow. Some are hoping that he will not come for a long time because they want to prolong their experience of this earthly life, thinking that it is much more interesting and enjoyable than the life to come. While still others simply give his second coming no thought at all, but are completely focused upon the many distractions of everyday life here and now. How will this ever change? How will the minds and hearts of so many ever turn so that they too may watch with expectant joy for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? It will only be through the grace and the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the instruments of the Holy Spirit will be the testimony of witnesses. And this is where the vocation of secular Carmelites joins in. And the promise some of you will make and many will renew today. The constitutions of the Discalced Carmelite Secular Order speak of being witnesses to the experience of God. In imitation of Saint Teresa, who placed prayer as the foundation and basic exercise of her religious family, secular Carmelites are called to strive to make prayer penetrate their whole existence in such a way that the whole of their life is a prayer. You have come to know that it is He whom your heart loves. You have come to know that when you gaze upon Him and converse with Him in prayer, you are, as Saint Teresa said, taking time frequently to be alone with Him who we know loves us. It is true that we see now only indistinctly as in a mirror, and that we know now only partially. But how sweet this is, even this indistinct, partial communion that our Lord has offered to us even now in this life. And within such moments, He has drawn you to Himself. Within such moments, He has called you to Carmel. Within such moments, He has beckoned you to tend toward gospel perfection. And so it is that you are ready to commit, or to renew your commitment, to live the spirit of the evangelical counsels of chastity, poverty, and obedience, and of the Beatitudes. For you know, you have discovered in your life and in your entire being that He is trustworthy and faithful. And you have learned that you do not need to cling to excessive possessions or power or the illicit use of other persons in order to be safe and fulfilled. You know that the Lord is faithful and that He rewards 100-fold, even in this life, those who are poor in spirit and merciful and pure in heart, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know that this is how you will live in the fulfillment of heaven. And you want to begin living heaven right now. And so your heart and life become a testimony that God never changes, that patience obtains all things, that nothing is wanting to him who possesses God, and that God alone suffices. Your heart and your life become a witness. In an age when, as Pope Paul VI said, so many are inclined to listen not so much to teachers as to witnesses, to those who know this, who know Him in the depth of their soul. And so, as the constitutions say, as sons and daughters of Teresa of Jesus and John of the Cross, you are called to stand before the world as a witness to the resurrection and life of the Lord Jesus, and a symbol of the living God. If you still have a copy of the 2003 Clarion, in which the new constitutions were first published, take a look at it, and you will see that on the front cover, in the icon of our Lord and His Blessed Mother, there are words that go around that icon Around that oval edge of the icon, it says over and over that prayer of the early church. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And no wonder. He is coming soon. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And we fervently respond with our lips and with our whole lives. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.